This morning on Wake Up With Hope, we have music by Endless Praise, and John Bradshaw will have the devotional thought for us.
Plus, a healthy foodie is back with another delicious recipe, and much, much more. Don't miss it. Good morning and happy Wednesday to you, and welcome to Wake Up With Hope. You know, it's a brand new day and a brand new opportunity to start fresh. Mm-hmm. As it says in Lamentations chapter 3, verse 23, God's mercies are new every morning.
Yes, they are, and I praise God for that. And as you begin this new day, we want to remind you that God promises to be with you wherever you go today. We pray that you will cherish this thought as you go throughout your day.
And this morning, we hope to remind you that Jesus wants to fill your heart and mind with unfading hope. So let's begin by taking a look back at what took place on this very day in history.
On this day in history in 1947, the United Nations, in the face of staunch Arab resistance, approves the partition of Palestine and the establishment of an autonomous Jewish state. The conflict between Jews and Arabs in Palestine began in the 1910s, with both groups asserting claims to British-controlled territory. Jewish Zionists, primarily European and Russian immigrants, aimed to establish a Jewish state, while native Palestinian Arabs sought to prevent Jewish immigration and establish a secular Palestinian state. Open conflict erupted in 1929, with Britain trying to restrict Jewish immigration to appease Arabs. Unfortunately, today we are still seeing the results and effects of this seemingly never-ending conflict.
And what a powerful reminder that there will only ever truly be peace on earth when Christ returns and makes a new earth. You know, friends, I long to be there. Don't you? Let's do all that we can today to surrender to Him so that we may be found in that peaceful place where violence and sin will never reign again.
Amen. The Healthy Foodie is back this morning to show us how to make tofu feta rice. Sounds like a sure treat. Check in on today's masterstroke as we take an artistic journey through the stoning of Stephen and what we can learn from it today.
The first Rembrandt painting was the stoning of Stephen in 1625. He was just 19 years of age. This painting comes from the biblical story where the deacon Stephen became the first Christian martyr. When Stephen blamed his people for killing the Messiah, they ran towards him in a pack. So here we have Stephen in the center. His face is lit and he's gazing up to the light. A whole bunch of men are poised, ready to stone him. We have a man mounted on a horse on the side, and we can see the domes and walls of Jerusalem in the background. At the rear of the painting is Saul of Tarsus. He's holding the coats of those doing the dirty work. What I find interesting is that Rembrandt looks to have painted the same face as Stephen on Saul. He's even looking in the same direction. Why? Maybe Rembrandt is portraying that Saul would soon take the place of Stephen and become a mighty worker for Jesus. Now let's look straight above the face of Stephen. Here we find a self-portrait of Rembrandt. He's painted himself in among the gang of killers. But by the look on his face, he seems to be having second thoughts. As he saw the peace on the face of Stephen and the light of God shining on him, as he heard him say, "Lord, please do not charge them with this sin," going through his mind must have been, "I think I've misjudged this man. Maybe he's innocent after all. What if this bad man is actually good? What if I've made a terrible mistake?" Of course, that happened in the mind of Saul. So maybe Rembrandt painted himself thinking exactly the same thing. So what's the point of this painting? For me, it's this. From the life and prayer of Stephen came the ministry of Paul. From the ministry of Paul came the gospel to the whole world. The next time you feel like someone has misjudged you, falsely accused you, or rejected you in your faith, remember the story and prayer of Stephen. Lord, please do not charge them with this sin.
When we return, we will have music by Endless Praise. And later, John Bradshaw joins us to share a devotional thought.
Don't forget, if you're enjoying today's show, share it with a friend or visit our website at hopetv.org/wakeup. Search for us on YouTube also to subscribe to our channel and keep up with us. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Wake Up with Hope. Endless Praise joins us now as they sing to us to remind us that it's worth the fight.
Someone hands of love that has the power to undo what has been done. What can put out the fears and dry the tears? Can someone fill the empties of heart? Where can we find the truth? It's win or lose. This world is simply breaking apart.
If you're enjoying today's program, be sure to share it and spread a little positive inspiration. You can also visit our website at hopetv.org/wakeup.
We have to stop for a quick break now, but after the break, we will have today's devotional thought by Pastor John Bradshaw. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back to Wake Up with Hope.
John Bradshaw from It Is Written is with us here today to share a devotional thought.
It is great to see you. I hope you're doing well today, that you recognize you're blessed. I'm not going to say I hope you're blessed. Of course you're blessed. You have a mind. Your heart is beating. You can, by faith, accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You are blessed. And if there's some challenge or difficulty going on in your life, my heart is with you. And I hope you'll find solace and comfort and peace through Jesus and the assurance that God is with you. And the assurance that one day God is going to wipe away all tears from your eyes. That is the truth. So one day, Jesus came ashore and he was met by an hideous scene. A couple of men who were demon-possessed approached Jesus. When I say approached, I don't know that they approached, as perhaps ran at him with fury. Now, according to the Bible, these men were out of control. People had tried to restrain them with chains. They broke the chains. They bound them with fetters of some kind, and they broke those. They spent a lot of time living among tombs. Yuck. But that's what they did. They were demon-possessed. They weren't in their right mind. They spent their time naked. It just wasn't a good scene at all. And so Jesus cast the demons out of them. Interesting exchange. The demons said, when Jesus asked them their name, they said, "Our name is Legion, for we are many." Now, two men, and they called themselves Legion, the demons did. In a Roman legion, there were about 3,000 to 5,000 soldiers. Does this mean that these men were possessed with thousands of demons? I think it has to, right? I think it has to. They were fully given over to the power of the devil. Jesus cast the demons out, and they said, please allow us to enter into the swine. Now, it's a bit of a mystery as to why they wanted that and Jesus said yes, but if Jesus hadn't said you can go into the pigs, they may have gone to the pigs and the people, they may have gone further and done greater damage. So Jesus was restraining them. At the same time, it may well have been that these were Jewish people who were tending to the pigs, and Jesus knew that they knew Jews shouldn't be herding swine. And so Jesus was going to remove that illicit livelihood from them, give them an opportunity to think again. They said, send us into the swine. Jesus said, go into the swine. 2,000 pigs. And they started running violently down a hillside, off a cliff, and into the water of the lake. And they drowned. They perished. I mean, think about that. It had to be an awful sight. 2,000 pigs. That's a lot of bacon. A lot. And one by one by one, or maybe, you know, hundreds and hundreds at once, they launched themselves off the cliff into the Sea of Galilee. They drowned. There would have been a terrible lot of squealing, and it would have been a hideous sight. So here's what happened. Here are a couple of men who were tyrannizing the area. People were scared of them. They lived among tombs. They wouldn't wear clothes. They were so strong that they broke their chains. And now the Bible says they were clothed and in their right mind, sitting at the feet of Jesus. This incredible work of transformation had been seen. I mean, I spoke to a guy the other day, great, fine man, suit and a shirt on. And I'd like to say he had well-combed hair, but he didn't because he was bald, but he had a well-shaved head, I guess we could say. He spoke respectfully, very respectable man. Then he showed me photographs of what he was like more than 20 years ago. I said, this is another man. It's another human being. That was back when he lived a rough life. He was an angry-looking, evil-looking guy. Today, I mean, man, he looks like a saint of God, and that's not an exaggeration. So here were these men whose faces had to have been contorted and twisted, and they were angry, and they were frightful, and they put fear into people, terrorized people, but now an absolute transformation. Their faces would have shone. They were full of joy. They had hope. They smiled. They didn't look angry or violent anymore. People saw that and they said, what about our pigs? That's what they said. They didn't say, "Oof, Jesus just saved those men and transformed them and made them into useful and productive members of society, trustworthy, respectable people." They didn't give that a thought. They said, what about our pigs? That's what they said. And the Bible says they pleaded with Jesus to leave their region. Would you get out of here? So that's a fascinating thing in and of itself. They begged Jesus to leave. Oh, societies do that. Families do that. Universities do that. People do that. Firms and businesses do that. They say to Jesus, we don't want you around here. We want you gone. No question about it. Bars and nightclubs. No, no, don't want Jesus here. You're out. And they beg him to leave. But these were people who should have known better. People now, individuals. And they said, go away and don't come back. What about our pigs? It's really interesting, isn't it? They lost their livelihood, at least their pig farming business, and they blamed God for their loss. Was Jesus responsible for their loss? No. Now you're going to say, but wait a second. He was the one who told the demons that they could go into the pigs. Now, there's nothing to say they wouldn't have done that anyway. They may have done that anyway. Even though Jesus gave them permission, it wasn't Jesus who led the piggies down the hillside and into the lake to their demise. It was the devil. Everybody agrees with that. It was demons who rushed the pigs down the hillside and into the waters of the Sea of Galilee. And yet God got the blame. Your insurance company probably insures you against an act of God. Homes, that is. An act of God. So, a tornado? Act of God. Hurricane? Act of God. Is a flood an act of God? That may be different to the insurers. I don't know. An act of God. That was not an act of God. You're giving God the blame for something that the devil does. Yeah, but God could have stopped it. Yes, doesn't mean he caused it. It means he simply did not act to prevent it. Oh, you don't like the sound of that? Well, I'd like you to think about how God protected you on the roads yesterday, and how you don't have cancer, and how your diabetes is cleared up, and how when that angry person didn't like the way you looked at them, they went in another direction. God intervened to spare you. When you're about to make a cataclysmic financial decision that would have brought ruin to your family or to your business, God intervened, something happened, you didn't make that decision, God did great things. So don't be saying God doesn't intervene, he intervenes all the time. Why does he not always intervene? I don't know. We'll get to ask him one day. But the problem is when people start blaming God for what the devil does. No, God did not take away your wife. He did it. Why did he allow it? That I don't know. But he was good enough to give you a wife that you love, obviously, and then miss. So instead of belly aching about God taking away the blessing, you are going to instead thank God that he gave you that great blessing and that one day in eternity, you can hold her hand again. See what I'm saying? Let's not blame God. It's small. It's intellectually dishonest. It's kind of lazy. And it's terrible, terrible theology. The Bible says God is love. The Bible says God is faithful. The Bible says God is merciful. The Bible says God is good. He is all those things. The people of that area said, go away. We don't want you here. You cause problems. Jesus doesn't cause problems. Jesus causes solutions. And I hope you'll allow him to be the solution to all of your challenges today. Great to see you. God bless you. Have a great day.
Thank you so much, Pastor John.
And friends, thank you for watching Wake Up with Hope and spending your morning with us. We enjoyed our time together.
We sure did. And tomorrow, we don't want you to forget to join us right here. We'll be featuring an inspiring episode from Reflections of Hope. Faith for Today will join us to share a devotional thought, and we'll have music from Matt and Josie Minica, so don't miss it.
And if you enjoyed today's devotional thought and you would like to learn more, visit hope.study. to receive your free Bible study guides.
Again, friends, that's hope.study. We are sure our free Bible studies will be a blessing to you.
And like we like to do every time we end our program, we like to share a Bible promise. And today's promise is found in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 and 7.
It says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you.
No doubt, life is hard sometimes. We go through difficulties, illnesses, discouragement, and doubt. Mm-hmm. But Jesus is a friend that we can always count on. He's a faithful friend. He's always there to lift us up, and he wants to be close to you today. So friends, cast all your burdens on him, every single one, today and every day. Why? Because he cares. He cares for you. And that's a promise.
Amen. We pray you have begun this day with a grateful heart because of Jesus' love and care for you. May the Lord abundantly bless you today and have a wonderful Wednesday.
Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, as we close today's program, we want to take those words into our hearts, into our minds, and truly take them seriously. God cares for us. God cares for me. And may we not allow anything, no lie of the enemy, take away that truth from us. Thank you, Lord, that you care. And we can face today with hope because you care. And we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.